Florida State just wrapped up its first scrimmage of fall camp as the season continues to inch closer and closer. We've heard from Mike Norvell as well as both coordinators about how things went under the lights in Doak Campbell last night. So we're going to talk about that, some team health updates before their trip to Jacksonville, and the coaches poll just dropped. So what's up, Noel Nation? I'm Jesse from Plant the Spear, and thank you for joining me for another episode. We've got a lot of ground to cover today as the season continues to get closer. Florida State is less than a month away from kickoff inside Doak Campbell Stadium, and I couldn't be more excited. Now, I get it. There's some trepidation after the past 2 years and how things have went, but man, there is nothing like college football season. And Florida State aside, I'm just ready for the fall and Saturdays to be back. But I'm always ready for Florida State to take the field again. It's a new season, man. We don't know what this team's going to be. And the messaging this offseason has been encouraging. Now, I understand both me, you, Michael, all of Florida State fan base, we are not buying into what we're hearing at the podium this year. We got to see it on the field to believe it. And that is important. Of course, we totally understand that. But that aside, I got to say, man, some of the messaging has been good. Some of the things you've been hearing from the staff and coming out of camp and the players are encouraging that maybe this team can take that step forward and be a surprise team in 2026, just from an increased work ethic and increased buy-in. Some of the new pieces have seemed like they have really kind of started to work out well for this defense and this offense. So there are some things that it's funny. I texted Michael the other day, the co-host Michael, for those of you who don't know, most of you know who Michael is, but I texted him the other day, a couple of camp clips from camp and a couple of the presser clips. And I was just like, man, don't do this to me. Don't get me excited because, man, I'm starting to get a little bit hyped up. But again, we're going to hold everything at arm's length until we actually see what it looks like under the lights. Obviously, you got New Mexico State in less than a month. SMU, the massive Labor Day night game coming up as well. So we're going to have a lot of good action the first couple weeks of the season. But they did wrap up their first scrimmage last night inside Doak Campbell Stadium. So we've got a lot of takeaways to cover for that. So again, we're going to jump right in. It felt like, for those of you watching on YouTube, felt like a good jersey day, good day to break out the jersey because, man, we're so close to football season. So with that being said, guys, lock in with us here at Plant the Spear with a like and subscribe on YouTube, as well as a rate and review on the podcast. We appreciate your support. So, man, let's get into it. Let's talk about the setting of this scrimmage, some of the takeaways that we heard from both the coach and coordinators as far as how things went. Now, first thing I want to say is you are only six practices into fall camp. So this is kind of an eval scrimmage, not a game plan scrimmage, right? They're not installing and running a look defense against New Mexico State or SMU or anything like that. You're really just kind of letting good on good in a game day situation kind of feel itself out to kind of see where this team is after those six practices, right? It was the first time in full pads, first time they've been able to get extended drives. They got in some red zone work, according to Mike Norvell. They were able to run through about 70 to 80 plays, which is good because that's about what you're going to see in a game type scenario. So that was one of the things that not only Mike Norvell talked about, but Tim Harris as well as Tony White about. This is really kind of their first opportunity. You know, there's been a lot of new pieces added on the roster. There's been some new coaches that have been added to the staff. This is their opportunity to go inside Doak Campbell Stadium, treat it like a game day prep from a locker room standpoint, game day situation, like from coaches up in the press box to down on the sideline. All of these things get treated like a true game day experience. So it is kind of their opportunity to get their walkthrough in this scenario to kind of work on those game day preparations. But man, overall, Mike Norvell thought it was a good scrimmage for week one. You saw explosive plays on both sides of the ball, which is what you want. We talked to players at ACC Media Days. I think it was Deuce Robinson who said, like, you don't want to see one side dominating the other. And we know that. You want to see that back and forth because that's that iron sharpens iron mentality that helps make both sides of the ball get better. Now, pretty much everybody said there's still some things to clean up, but you're going to expect stuff like that this early in fall camp. You know, you're still working on fundamentals. This scrimmage and this early part of camp, knowing that you started in shells, this is as much about alignment and assignment. This is as much about fundamentals, as Mike Norvell likes to say, creating and taking space. this is as much about that as it is anything else. You're not prepping for SMU and stuff like that quite yet. Now, you're doing install, you're running your systems, but this is more about just nailing the basics before you do anything else. And so I think it sounds like from what they had to say, that this was a good step in that direction. And really what you're looking for is you're just kind of seeing at this first scrimmage, you're trying to see where you're at this point in camp. After the spring and the summer, how far have you progressed through the first week of camp? How far have you gotten with your install and with your fundamentals and techniques? But then the real measuring stick, because this is like a progress report, right? That report card is going to keep getting graded as the fall camp progresses. What you're looking for is how much you grow between this scrimmage and that next scrimmage, right? That's where you really want to see the growth between those two benchmarks. Now, we will start by talking about offense, and then we'll move into defense, special teams, and some other things. Now, before I get into that, let me bring you a quick word from today's sponsor, and that is, of course, Alumni Hall FSU. Now, not only do these guys have the gear you need for the season, they also just launched a giveaway on their social channels to that big Labor Day game against SMU. They're giving you a chance to win two tickets, a mini helmet, and a $100 Alumni Hall gift card. So make sure you head on over to their social media pages, give them a follow, and then enter that contest for your chance to win. And if you're going to shop over there for some new gear, make sure that you save 10% with code SPEAR. So thank you for supporting them and for them supporting this show. So let's start with the offense. Now, we heard Mike Norvell talk about this. We heard Tim Harris today as well. Tim Harris, one of the things that he talked about was they did well with tempo. We know that was a big thing they wanted to do under Gus Malzahn, his hurry-up offense, and that's something that Mike Norvell implements in his offense as well. So a lot of it was, you know, getting lined up, getting eyes to the sideline, getting the play in, getting where they need to be so they can work with tempo. And that was something that they emphasized last night. And so that was just a big picture offensive thought. Now, when you get to the quarterbacks, we've heard a lot of talk about Ashton Daniels. And look, man, I know the history that we've seen with Ashton Daniels. We talked about it in our quarterback preview, which I encourage you to go watch. He's not got a good history at Stanford, but I do feel like we've talked about this before. You got to kind of separate the time from Stanford and Auburn and look at the resources he had to work with around him. You saw some encouraging things at Auburn. You saw a lot of bad at Stanford. But if you look at what he was able to do at Auburn, there were some reasons for hope, right, in what he can be this season at Florida State. And we have heard consistent good remarks about him, especially in fall camp. You know, there was a little bit of thing in spring where there was a quarterback competition with Kevin Sperry, which, you know, was that a question of Ashton Daniels not really taking over or Kevin Sperry really pushing him? And that was a little concerning as a guy coming in as a redshirt senior versus battling a guy who's a redshirt freshman. But from what we've gathered through the summer, after spring and into fall, it sounds like he's really taken that step to be comfortable with this offense, be in control of this offense, and really just build his confidence as the leader of this offense. And so that was something that Mike Norvell and both Tim Harris talked about from the scrimmage last night, getting his first situation in game-like scenario where he was able to have good command and control. He was able to have some sharp third down throws, as Mike Norvell mentioned, was really precise with his ball placement. They also did say that, you know, Tim Harris said, like, look, we would like to work on a lot of base looks, but the defense just throws a lot of challenging stuff at them. And that's one of the benefits of Tony White's defense. And you know, they say they want that competition. They want the best of what can be thrown at them. But also, Ashton Daniels was locked in last night, and he did a really good job of getting them to the line of scrimmage and, you know, putting them in the best situation, maybe checking out of a play, checking into a different look, you know, getting the guys lined up the way they need to be. And so that is some really encouraging things to hear about Ashton Daniels, because, you know, when you look at the takeaways from camp and stuff, you'll hear about the splash plays. You'll hear about the deep shot to Deuce or something like that. And that's great. But knowing Ashton Daniels' history, the things that I wanted to see from him coming into this season to make me feel confident he can be the leader of this offense that we need is more the down-to-down consistency, is the pre-snap stuff. You know, he's a guy that went to Stanford. He's obviously a very intelligent quarterback. You want to see a guy who can come in here and make the right calls, make the right checks, Get these guys lined up. If you see something that doesn't go with the play call that you got, check into the right play. And it's just that down-to-down consistency that I think is what you were really looking for. That's something he talked about at ACC Media Days, taking better care of the ball, being a more efficient passer. Because there's no question that he's a good runner. There's no question that he's a good athlete. The question is, how can he progress as a passing quarterback? That's what we needed to see. And so far, he's been endorsed by, you know, not only Austin Tucker, the quarterback's coach, but Mike Norvell, Tim Harris, as well as some of the players, not only from an offensive perspective, but defense as well. Now, again, none of that talk matters if you don't back it up on the field. But so far, there's been a lot of positive endorsement for Ashton Daniels, and I hope that carries over into the season and onto the field, and it's not just talk, because we've heard talk about that before. But man, if he can really step up and be the guy that we need him to be, he can take this offense to another level. Now, in fairness, I'm not expecting Ashton Daniels to be the number one passing quarterback in the ACC. I'm not expecting him to have a Heisman-type season or even first-team All-ACC or anything like that. But if he can be better than what we've had the past 2 years, if he can be a guy that takes care of the football and has that down-to-down consistency with occasional splash plays, man, that's really what you're looking for, as well as him affecting the game with his legs. So he's got some good resources to work with around him, which we'll talk about in a minute. Now, the other thing that we got to mention with the offense here is the backup quarterback situation. Malachi Marshall did not participate in this scrimmage. He was held out with injury. They do say, Mike Norvell said, that they are hoping that he will be back available next week as he battles out for that quarterback two position with Kevin Sperry, who we've heard has had an up and down fall camp, kind of missed on some throws, also had some big plays, which Mike Norvell said last night. He did hit a vertical shot to Jason Lopez, which is good to see for Kevin Sperry. That also keeps growing this Jason Lopez lore, which we're going to talk about when we get to the receiver position here. Now, with Malachi Marshall being out, Dean DeNoble did get to run a couple drives himself, which Mike Norvell talked about, that he did put together a really good drive. Now, again, Dean DeNoble is going to be more of a break class in case of emergency quarterback. You're not really going to expect to see him on the field playing in meaningful games unless something really bad has happened. But it's not bad to hear that you had him able to put together a couple of drives. I would imagine that's probably against the backup defense more than anything. But, you know, one of the things that Mike Norvell talked about in the scrimmage, being that you're not going, you know, up against a look of an SMU defense or a look, you're just kind of letting the defense throw what they want to at you, is being able to work on the ability to play, having command and control of the offense, reading what the defense gives you, not running basically on visual cues and stuff you've learned on tape. Because when you go against New Mexico State, you're going to be their season opener. When you go against SMU, you're going to be their season opener. And SMU is bringing in a new defensive coordinator. Now, he was an internal promotion. He did spend many years under Scott Simons there at SMU. So it's probably not going to look a lot different, but it's a new wrinkle to add that you may or may not be able to prepare for. Things might not look the same that it did as it did on film last year. So these are things that you're going to have to take the defense as it gives you different looks, and you're going to have to be able to adjust to that on the fly, which is something that he did say they thought they did a good job on. Obviously, they'll do some more game planning and specifics later on in the other scrimmages, but this is something they wanted to work on early on, which was good to see. Now, as we get further into the offense here, we're going to talk about some skill positions that Mike Norvell was asked about, that Tim Harris talked about as well. From a running back standpoint, Tim Harris did mention that Trey Wisner was held out of the scrimmage, did not participate. And so Usman Chroma was singled out as one of the standout players in the scrimmage by Mike Norvell, which again, he just keeps getting talked about his growth from year one to year two. And I do want to remind you guys that, remember, he was not an early enrollee last year. He came straight in late in the summer and then went right into fall camp and right into the season. We saw a lot of flashes as a freshman of a guy that can be special. We also saw a lot of things that he needs to clean up. So hearing that he's now had a full offseason and used that, he's taking care of his body, he's really kind of taken that step to be that next level running back, that's really good to hear, because he can be a game-changing type of running back for Florida State's offense if he hits his potential ceiling. That's something that you're really looking at. Now, we know Trey Wisner is a proven back. We can look back at his history at Texas and know what he's capable of doing. So the fact that he didn't participate in this particular scrimmage, I hope he does get to participate in the future. It's not a big deal to me. But one of the other names that did get mentioned was Sam Singleton Jr. We've heard his name come up a few times now from a running back position as well as in the return game. But not only from Mike Norvell, but running backs coach Cam Martin. So when you think back to 2022, this team mirrors that team a lot in a run-heavy team with a mobile quarterback. You had the three-headed monster back there in 2022 that was really good with Trey Benson, Toa Fili, and Trayshawn Ward. Now it's looking like it's shaking out with Usman Khroma, Trey Wisner, and Sam Singleton, which we know. Now, we talked about this a lot before in the offense and all offseason. We wanted to see that running back rotation condensed down a little bit. That was something that was really important that was massively mishandled last year. But it sounds like they've been really kind of honing in on these three guys being their three main backs. And even Tim Harris Jr. said that they want backs they don't have to take off the field. So you don't have to, you know, get two hot carries and then next thing you know, we don't see you for three quarters. That's not what they want. So it does sound like they understand that is a big part of the game plan this year. And it's not bad to have three guys to lean on, right? You can get fresh legs late in games, fresh legs late in the season. You can also protect against injury. As well as we know, Mike Norvell likes to run two running back sets. So I think this is definitely a good thing to hear that all three backs have been good so far throughout camp. Now, one thing that Tim Harris did mention, they've really made a point of emphasis this year is yards after carry or yak yards has been a big focus, lowering your shoulder, falling forward, stuff like that, and said that they did a good job of that in the scrimmage last night. Also getting more involved in the pass game, which is something that he said Usman Khroma individually has taken a step on. So, man, just a lot of good stuff from the running back room so far coming out of camp, which we already knew this running back room has the chance to be legitimately special. And Mike Norvell said this could be one of the deeper rooms that he's ever had at Florida State. Now, looking at the receivers out wide, more good stuff coming out about these guys. Deuce Robinson got some praise from Mike Norvell, as expected. There's not really a lot you can say about Deuce, man. He's one of the better receivers in the country, one of the best receivers in the ACC. For me, with Deuce, it's just more about continuing to hone in the little things on his skill set that he talked about at ACC Media Days, being a more versatile guy and getting that timing down with Ashton Daniels. Not a whole lot to talk about with Deuce Robinson because, again, you know what you're getting there. Where the conversation does get interesting is looking at everything past him, right? We've kind of been wondering who's going to be those next guys to step up. And Mekhi Dansey is, of course, the first name, a guy that put up almost 600 yards last year as his first year playing the true wide receiver position. Now, we did hear, you know, we talked about here on Plant the Spear, what we really wanted to see from him coming into the season was to be a more developed, well-rounded wide receiver, not just a guy who could get the ball in space and run past the defense or run past the defense and then catch a deep ball or something like that. And that was one thing that Mike Norvell probably spent the most time talking about from a receiver's perspective was Mekhi Dansey, and talked about how he did score a touchdown in the scrimmage, but that he has been able to make plays with the ball in his hands. And he's evolved a lot as a route runner. Also, a guy who's buying more into blocking on the outside, which we know is critical from that receiver position. And so that, I think, is what you want to see from Dansey, that year two development step. And, you know, we've also heard that he does still do track, so he did miss part of spring. But Tim Harris talked about how he realizes he's actually pretty darn good at football. And so he's kind of really shifted a little bit more towards football. So if he can be a more polished, developed receiver, that gives you a second weapon to go next to Deuce Robinson. And we heard good things about what he was able to do in the scrimmage last night. Now, possibly the most exciting development of this entire offseason at the receiver position has been the young guys, man. I mean, you hear so much talk about Jason Lopez, the freshman, four-star freshman, who also splits time with basketball, still being able to make an impact. Devin Carter, another young guy who's coming on. Now, of course, that does mean we have not heard a lot from Javon Boggs. So I think he may be the third wheel in this rotation rather than more splitting evenly snaps with those two guys. But it's never bad to have additional depth at the receiver position. Now, Boggs has been banged up at times throughout camp. Unfortunately, he's just kind of really had a hard time staying healthy since he's been in Tallahassee. But hearing the Jason Lopez lore continue to grow at how good this kid really is has to get you excited as a Florida State fan, especially coming from a true freshman, where a guy that if the staff and if this roster stays together going forward is a guy you're going to have with multiple seasons. Also, Devin Carter is a guy that's got a lot of work. It's actually one of the funnier quotes, and I won't use a little bit of a language that he used, but Tony White talked about, you know, who's giving you problems. He was asked specifically about Jason Lopez and everything that he's – that all this lore that we've been talking about. And he said how, man, he's just a really twitchy, good, athletic, elite-level football player. And he told him, he's like, hey, man, you can do that stuff on defense. And he didn't say stuff, but he said, hey, you can do that stuff on defense too, right? You can backpedal for the first few steps. So he's actually would love to see him move over to the defensive side because he's just that good of an athlete. So, man, that is something that I'm definitely excited about to hear because, you know, again, this just – gives you additional options at that receiver position that can really be game changers for you. We've also heard Tariq Mallory has made a couple of nice catches there. Tayshawn Gelsey is a guy that Tim Harris Jr. pointed out has stood out in camp as well and earning the reps that he's getting. They're also talked about the tight ends being worked in and how they're looking at some multiple tight end looks. We've talked about that as well, some 12 and 13 the possibility of some 12 and 13 personnel on the offense, which would be one back, two tight ends or three tight ends or whatever that look may be in their offense, just from having different skill sets and perspectives. And that's something that he talked about as well. So some good things coming from the offense. We did hear that the quarterbacks were not live. They were able to run up until contact, which, you know, running is a big part of the game for Ashton Daniels. Up front on the offensive line, Mike Norvell did praise them as a veteran group who is still building that chemistry. Obviously, you know, this is not a group that has a lot of veteran experience together, but it is more of a group that's made up of veterans meshing and gelling together for the first time. And that is the key to having a good offensive line. Like, the pieces individually have to be good, but the individual pieces have to work together as a unit or else it's not going to matter. And so communication, Mike Norvell felt, was solid for the first scrimmage. Braden Welch Joyner did get a shout out as doing an outstanding job per Mike Norvell at the center position. Nate Paff's got some remarks for being a versatile guy who's been working at guard and tackle, but he did say he's been primarily at guard, which is where we talked about in our offensive line preview, where we would like him to play more than anything. Xavier Chaplin got some remarks from Mike Norvell as just being a veteran guy that you can feel his presence out there on the field. And so, you know, this is a group that there's a lot on their shoulders, man. Them and Ashton Daniels are carrying the weight of this offense. The skill positions are no question for Florida State. It all comes down to the offensive line and the quarterback position. And so anything positive that you hear about them, I definitely I think that's a good thing. But again, we're going to have to see it on the field, right? Because there are some question marks around those groups. But I do trust up front Herb Hand's ability from an evaluation and development standpoint. We saw he did a pretty decent job with what he had last year. And so hopefully with this group now having spring and summer, which the group last year did not have, that they can put together a better, more cohesive unit going into 2026, because we're going to need them to be that run-heavy team that we want to be. Now, we're going to switch over to defense and talk about that side of the ball now as well. Lots of comments of good stuff, which is actually kind of funny, man. I still love talking to Tony White or hearing Tony White talk about this defense. He said, you know, to start with, when you go back to that scrimmage last night, that, you know, offense broke some plays and they made some plays. And so he said, actually, when he left, he was pissed off at first, right? He said he was really worked up. He did talk about Tom Herman and his help that he's been doing on that side of the ball. He said he was actually able to talk him off the cliff a little bit because he was really kind of pissed off because he knows how important this season is. And then he said he went home and he watched the film and realized that guys were where they were supposed to be and they were doing the right things. But the reality of the situation is, the offense has got some dudes too, right? He did talk about that when they were in watching film today. He was like, man, look, they got some guys, right? No matter how you draw it up, It's like the NFL. There's talent on both sides of the ball. Eventually, those guys are just going to make plays too, right? They're Division I scholarship athletes for a reason. They're going to make plays. So he said that he did feel a little bit better after going back and watching the tape. Mike Norvell, his main overall theme on the defense was just really being impressed with the team's speed, the explosiveness, and stopping the run, the emphasis that they had on that last night in the scrimmage. Couple of guys that really stood out. First off, Tony White did say that they have multiple sacks, and he said something like 10 TFLs. Now, that might be a little bit concerning, but we also don't know fully who those were on, right? That could have been the ones against the twos. We don't know how they ran it because we weren't able to watch in person. We're kind of going off the state-run media of the coaches and players and what they tell us throughout camp. But some of the things that stood out, I mean, obviously, again, when you have explosive plays on both sides, that's not a bad thing. You want to see both sides of the ball able to make some plays. He did mention that there was like a screen play that was just drawn up perfectly that got through the defense. These are the little things that they're going to want to clean up. But again, he said that they did create some havoc on the defense. They did have some really good things that went over there on the defensive side of the ball as well. Some of the guys that stood out more than anything, starting with what Mike Norvell had to say, Ashlyn Barker. Both, not only was it Mike Norvell, but Tony White talked about him as well. Man, this is a guy that just keeps making headlines out of camp, right? Stepping into that rover role, that rover safety position, Mike Norvell talked about how that gives him more field range than the boundary safety spot that he played last year, had a couple of standout plays, was praised for his leadership and mentality. Tony White also talked about Ashlyn Barker as well, and just really how he's a guy who's trying to come up and make violent plays and violent contact, and then also being able to drop back and pick passes off and things like that. And so, man, they are building a all-ACC type of expectation for Ashlyn Barker this season. And really, he was a good player for you last year. To get to that level, he will have to take that next step. But all of this talk has been encouraging because if he can be effective at that rover safety position, a really critical position in this defense, you know, not that Earl Little was bad last year, but I think there is room for improvement at the rover spot. If Ashlyn Barker, who's a big, rangy size guy, he's only about 15, 20 pounds shy of being a linebacker, if he can step up at that position, that's going to be big for this defense, right? He can almost be like an additional linebacker coming up into the box, giving you run support and doing all those types of things. And so it's good to keep hearing positives, right? Keep stacking those positive reports for Ashlyn Barker. Obviously, another guy who is probably my favorite guy so far at Florida State on defense right now. I've just really become excited about this guy. A guy that we knew could be good if he could translate from the G5 level, and that is Southern Miss transfer linebacker Chris Jones. The positive reports for him keep stacking up as well, and it's mostly as just being a physical, no-nonsense, thumping type of linebacker, right? Someone that Florida State has not had in the past couple of years, a guy who can make you pay for coming over the middle, a guy who's violent, kind of like his coach Ernie Sims, you know, a guy that you're not going to come across the middle without looking over your shoulder once or twice because you know there's a violent player in the middle of that defense. And so Mike Norvell mentioned his physicality showing up again, which has been a theme all throughout camp. Tony White even said when talking about Chris Jones that he wants to knock the soul out of you. And that type of mentality trickles down to the defense. He said, you know, talking about just the aggressiveness and the edge that this defense wants to play with this year, talked about Chris Jones doing that, and then how the Desir twins also want to hurt you when they hit you. And so, you know, that kind of trickles down. He said there's a lot of edgy dudes on this defense who are more comfortable and confident in this defense this year so they can be a little bit more, you know, play freely, play violent, and enforce the, you know, we heard Tony White talk about this, where they, whether you make the right play or not, somebody's got to pay physically. And so, you know, just hearing these things keep coming out of camp and now also coming out of the scrimmage, those are encouraging. Again, with the caveat that we're taking all of this with a grain of salt. Another linebacker who was mentioned specifically by Mike Norvell was the freshman Isaiah Williams. Man, he spent some time on him, even though he was asked directly about him. He spent some time on him. You know, this is a guy that missed his senior season of high school with a torn ACL, missed all of spring rehabbing, but Got some live action on Tuesday. Mike Norvell called his ceiling incredible. Said he's just got to continue to clean up the finer details of his game. You know, that alignment and assignment kind of stuff, and letting the college game slow down a little bit for him. But, you know, this is a guy that when you talk about a linebacker room that really has been underwhelming the last couple of years, obviously Chris Jones is a name that's stealing the spotlight. I expect Isaiah Williams to get some snaps in that New Mexico State game. I don't know if he'll be a starter for SMU and Bama, those huge games this early in the season. But on paper, he's the most talented linebacker you have in that room. And I feel like it's almost an Azarie Thomas type of scenario from a few years ago when he was a freshman under Mike Norvell on the defensive side of the ball, where he's just too good to keep off the field. And so if the linebackers struggle again this year, some of the other guys, some of the returning guys, I think there's a spot for Isaiah Williams once he kind of gets that game reps. You know, he's going to play a lot probably during the Central Arkansas game as well, too. So, man, this is a guy to keep your eye on. We saw Chris Jones take him under his wing early before fall camp to kind of help sharpen those skills as well. So that's something to see. Now, Mike Norvell did also talk about the returners that we just talked about we have doubts with. Omar Graham, Blake Nicholson, Caleb LaValle, another guy who is returning from injury, was on the roster last year but didn't play, talked about the growth that they've had. We've heard a lot about this linebacker group, you know, as a group putting in the work together. And so we need those guys to take a step forward to this year. But, man, Chris Jones is a guy I couldn't be more excited about. We even heard the running backs when they met with the media after practice, a day or two ago. Not only did you have Cam Martin call him a dog, we heard in a good way. We heard Usman Kroma talk about, man, that boy is a moving truck. Like, he considers himself a physical back, and you're not going to out-physical Chris Jones. So that's the type of linebacker, you know, 6'1", 230, chiseled like stone that we have not had in Tallahassee for the last couple of years. So it's really, really exciting to have a guy who not only looks the part, plays the part, and was top 10 in tackles nationally last year with 135, you know. I know the big concern with linebackers is covering running backs and out of the backfield, being able to cover guys. That's the biggest concern. But, man, there's nothing like having a thumper in the middle of that defense. And it sounds like you've got one in Chris Jones. So lots and lots of glowing remarks. Even when the offense was asked, Tim Harris, Jr., coordinator, the offensive coordinator was asked about it. Man, he even said Chris Jones was a name that's given them trouble. Ashlyn Barker and the Twins sound like the four main leaders of this defense, said they were kind of giving them some trouble. But, hey, he talks to them as much as the defensive guys. He says, hey, you're making us better, so keep it up. Keep pushing us every single day. And so it's good to hear that those guys are doing that. They're stepping up. Sounds like you've got some real pieces that keep the same names keep coming up, right? Continuing on the defensive line, Mike Norvell did bring up that Daniel Lyons and Deontay McCray did have some moments in the scrimmage last night. So that's good to hear as well, because those are two guys on the inside that you're really heavily relying on. Jordan Sanders got a few marks from Tony White. These are three of the bigger body guys on that inside. He even talked about, you know, Kevin Wynn is a guy that people don't realize how good and talented he really is. And so, again, you got to see it on the field. And there is a little bit a concern with that defensive line and the depth that they have. But, man, if they can step up and play better, like we talked about with quarterback, if they can step up and play better than expected this year, that can do a lot for this defense. You know, I even saw where there was a little bit of buzz on social media about which position group are you most concerned about this upcoming season. And defensive line was one of the top ones mentioned along with quarterback. And that kind of that spurred Terrence Knighton, the defensive line coach, to put out a tweet of with a picture of him and Mandrell Desir saying, we hear you. And so I hope, you know, again, that doesn't mean anything unless you back it up on the field. I hope that's a little bit of bulletin board material. That's a little bit of extra motivation if you need it, which you shouldn't. Any little thing that will help them, you know they got a target on their back and they got to play better this year, I'll take it. I'm not going to be mad at that. So it really sounds like, you know, there's some things that they need to work on the defense. Tony White did say that they have to get in better shape. They have to clean up some of the missed tackles. But the knowledge, the effort, and the belief is there in this defense. They're seeing guys make plays, and that's kind of trickling down to help everyone want to play harder because they know what they can be. He did talk about how having Tom Herman there has helped him kind of as that quality control coach to really bounce some things off of. So that was something I found interesting that was mentioned as well. So, you know, again, man, we got to see more from this defense than we did last year, point blank period. They had some really bad games. They had some really good games. But so far this season, you're hearing a lot of things about, especially on the offense and defensive side, but mostly the defense, about guys getting in the facility at 4:30 in the morning, guys staying late, being film junkies and putting in the extra work, coming together as groups, bonding as teammates. I know it doesn't mean anything at the microphone. It only matters what happens on the grass. But these are the little things that help you become a championship caliber team. And that's something that we even talked about with Jimbo Fisher during our interview at ACC Media Days. Like, hey, man, how do you get back to that standard, that Florida State, that championship standard that Florida State is known for, that they've been chasing these past couple years? And he's like, man, it's the everyday habits. It's the little things that you stack day after day after day, not looking at the big picture, but focusing on what you can do every day. And we're hearing that from this team. And so hopefully between that and Tony White talking about how much further they are along with the install on defense, hopefully that means we're going to have a better year on the field as well. But again, none of this talk means anything, but that doesn't mean it's not encouraging, right? Talk is the only thing we have to go on right now. So I understand we are keeping this at an arm's length, guys. I get that. I feel you there. I know what you're thinking right now about, we've heard this before and we still went 7-17 the past 2 years. I'm with you. But you're hearing some better things about the habits of this team, about the work ethic of this team, about, you know, the culture of this team being better than it was last year. And that's something I think that can lead to a better season for Florida State in 2026. Now, I do want to touch on special teams real quick, because it was mentioned by Mike Norvell when he was asked about it. He did credit Coach Shire with getting that unit as far along as any group that they've had throughout camp. And I think that is something that's worth talking about, because we did hear some sharp remarks from Mike Norvell in a previous presser about how it was kind of up and down for the special teams and they needed to get better. So he kind of called out that third phase. And so it's nice to see them respond. He did mention Gabe Panikowski, the kicker by name, as well as Daniel Hughes, and just, you know, guys who can be weapons for them this year. So that's good to hear as well. But not only that, we did get to hear a little bit of insight into the return game, which has always been kind of a thing with Florida State, right? We can struggle to even catch the ball, let alone have an impact guy at returner. Mike Norvell did mention the punt return group is primarily been consisting of Jason Lopez, who feels very comfortable back there, Devin Carter, Javon Boggs, and even out of left field, Deuce Robinson has been working a little bit at punt returner. Now, not a huge fan of that from a risk perspective. He's too important to the offense. But to Mike Norvell's point, he did say that, think about back to in 2023 when Keon Coleman, as your lead wide receiver, had zero punt returns of experience before becoming a conference special teams player of the year. And just kind of how you never know who's gonna emerge at that position. And if you can get a game changer back there of any sort, it's only going to help, right? Because Lord knows if we can just catch a punt, that's a big step forward, let alone have a guy who's dominant in the return game. Now, from a kick return perspective, it is looking like Sam Singleton Jr., who we know is a good guy. I think he was the one who housed the kickoff against Duke in 2024. And then you also got Makai Danzy, who's going to bring speed and explosiveness. And Mike Norvell talked about how they would be fun to watch back there. So all in all, guys, when we talk about the scrimmage, the takeaways, it sounds like you had a good battle back and forth between the offense and the defense. You did have some guys held out in that scrimmage, but you know, for the most part, you had some TFLs, you had some sacks, you had some, you know, you had some big plays by the offense. It was just a battle. You saw a clean game from Ashton Daniels, which is what you were looking for. You saw some explosive plays from the running backs and the receivers, but also the defense battled back and had some explosive plays of their own. So early on in the fall camp, when you're only six practices in, again, you're just looking for that competitiveness between the offense and defense. You're looking at the alignment and assignment. You're looking at how guys respond to adversity. Those are the things you're looking at. And then what you will do is measure where you were at in this one versus where you're at for the next one to see how you're progressing before you really, really get into install for the game periods that are going to be coming up in less than a month now. So up next for them is the trip to Jacksonville. Now, Mike Norvell did mention from a health perspective that they did have, as I mentioned, a handful of players out for various reasons. But a few more guys did pick up some injuries during the scrimmage itself. He said they will evaluate that over the next couple of days, and they will know a lot more about those injuries by the time they travel to Jacksonville. But he did characterize the team's health as pretty good overall. Obviously, that's going to be a situation to watch. Look, bumps and bruises happen in camp. You want to be careful with these guys, load management. You don't want to push through injury and risk getting injured more. It's more important to have them through the season. But you just hope that it was nothing serious with anybody who's an impact player for this team. So those will be some things we'll be watching before the team heads to Jacksonville. Now, again, as they head to Jacksonville, this is something that they've done under Mike Norvell pretty much since he took over as head coach. So this is pretty much what they said. Tony White talked about this, about how they treat this just like a road game. They treat this as they go on the road. They get put in some, different environments that they're not typically exposed to, just like the scrimmage. Mike Norvell talked about it in the scrimmage. They were able to throw some things at them that you can't simulate in practice. So that trip to Jacksonville, that's another one of those things that they do. In fairness, when you haven't run a road game in the last 2 years, I don't know how much of a difference this really makes from that perspective, but you know what? Maybe it at least provides some team building activities from that perspective, and at least gives you an opportunity to kind of do a dry run into the road game. So maybe they're going to try some new things this year. Again, when you haven't won a road game in the last 2 years, it's kind of hard to talk about that, right? But all in all, before we move on from the scrimmage, it does sound like most of the coaches acknowledge there are some things that need to be cleaned up on both sides of the ball and from a team perspective. But for being the first week in camp, when you can expect some mistakes, when you can expect some things needing to be cleaned up, they were overall pleased with things. I think a lot of it is just seeing the competitiveness, the explosiveness, and just the team's attitude towards how things are going right now, right? That's the big thing that you're looking for, nailing those fundamentals, the alignment and the assignment, getting where you need to be when you need to be there, and then they'll get to the finer details of the install later on. So obviously not a perfect scrimmage, but it sounds like they were pretty pleased with what they had. And so, again, you're just going to watch how you progress throughout the rest of camp and then into that second scrimmage and so on and so forth. So, now, before we get out of here, I want to bring you a quick thoughts on this coaches poll that just dropped. Obviously, preseason polls don't mean a whole lot, but there are a few points that I want to talk about. Now, before I talk about that, I want to tell you guys about the FSU fan community that is built for those who bleed garnet and gold, right? This is a new thing that we've launched here at Plant the Spear that if you're not part of, you should be before the season gets here. Get locked in with us, guys. Not only is this like a traditional message board like you would see from the legacy sites with all of our content that we're putting out for you guys, we also have live game day chats that are going to be coming up throughout the season. We have live chats for off-season stuff. We're going to be having events going on in there, giveaways in certain tiers and stuff like that, customizable profiles, user profiles, so you can put your own personal touch on it. And you can get started right now absolutely for free with a no strings attached free account over at the PTS community. You can check that out at plantthespear.com, our website. I have a thing there on the top of the website where you can find it nice and easy. I will link it below in the description here on YouTube and in podcast form, or you can just hit the boards link in the menu on plantthespear.com. If you would like to sign up for a PTS Insiders account and help support what we do here as an independent site at Plant the Spear with no corporate backing, we're kind of flying on our own accord here. Man, we would greatly appreciate that. An insider account does come with some added benefits like the giveaways, like an ad-free forum experience, and that starts at just $8 a month. So I would ask you to consider that if you'd like to support what we do here. And again, I want to thank those of you who have already signed up, and to those of you who have not yet, I'm telling you, jump on it. We're going to have a great time throughout the season. The more people that sign up, the better it's going to be. So now let's talk about this coaches poll as we give some last minute takeaways before we get up out of here. Again, guys, when I look at this, I don't pay a lot of attention to these preseason polls in August, because it's like Rhett Lashley, head coach of SMU, said, like, how can you nail down strength of schedule? How can you nail down preseason rankings when you haven't seen any of these teams play, right? In the modern era, where you have 20, 30, 40 new players, plus roster, not only the roster turnover, the staff turnover year to year, you don't really know what these teams are going to turn out, right? We saw a couple top 10 teams not even finish the season ranked, and their coaches get fired last year. There's so many variables that go to this, right? But it is news, and so we are going to share some quick thoughts on it. Obviously, some of the top takeaways here when I see this is, first off, it is loaded full of SEC teams. You are seeing that preseason kind of bias, the SEC bias placed in here with seven of the top 13, nine total in the poll. Now, I'm not saying the SEC is a bad conference, but man, it is, you know, they always get that kind of preseason bump when you don't know what these teams are going to look like in the preseason. You got eight from the Big Ten that made it in here, with the top two being Ohio State and Oregon taking the top two spots. The Big 12 actually edged out the ACC with four teams in here, with Texas Tech, BYU, Houston, and Utah in there. So the ACC's got some work to do, man. They got to earn that respect back this year. A big part of that is Florida State getting back to where they need to be. The ACC did have three teams get in it, which one of the most head-scratching ones in the entire ranking was Clemson. I mean, they're coming off a 7-6 season. They lost nine players to the draft, which would be nine of their better players, a new offensive coordinator, and a new quarterback. That's a strange ranking for a team that has a lot of questions to answer themselves. Now, this is not the media poll. This is not the AP top 25. So I'm not going to say there's a lot of narratives to push there. But if that does come out and it mirrors this, then you kind of get into the propaganda of maybe they're just ranking that Clemson team so that Lane Kiffin and LSU, if they were to win game one, it can be a ranked win under their belt or maybe not make a loss look so bad. So interesting thoughts there. But really the takeaway that I even brought this up for, the reason I even wanted to talk about this was because of just kind of how it lays out as it relates to your schedule, right? Florida State, when you get into the top 25, but you dig deeper into the others receiving votes, Florida State, there's a couple of teams in here that are on your schedule that are in that others receiving votes. Like Louisville comes in at 26 and Florida comes in at 27. So while they may not be on the graphic, they're the next two teams out. And what the interesting takeaway is, you play four of the top 25, you play seven of the top 35 by votes, and nine of the top 50. So when you think of a 12-game schedule, you have the two cupcakes, and then you have 10 Power 4 opponents. Well, nine of those Power 4 opponents of your 10 of the 10 are in the top 50. Seven of the 10 are in the top 35, and four are in the top 25. So it's going to be a difficult road for Florida State to have a good season. But the thing that I do want to mention is, look, the strength of schedule has no bearing on how good or bad your team is. You're still the same team. It just depends. It just makes the road harder to rack up wins in the win column, right? Because you have to go against other good teams. But that doesn't mean whether you play the first toughest schedule or the 134th or however many teams are in Power Four or Division One nowadays, it doesn't make your team better or worse. You're still the same team. It just makes the road a little bit tougher that you have to prove yourself against. Speaking of, Florida State did actually make an appearance in the others receiving votes in this poll. They were tied with North Carolina State down at 39th. And so, you know, that's just kind of a sobering message of where you are. You were voted 11th in the ACC preseason poll. You're, you know, not even in the top 35 of the preseason top 25. But again, these preseason polls don't mean anything, okay? Florida State has an opportunity to go out and earn that respect this season. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for from them to do this year, man. And again, as we get ready to draw this episode to a close, like, some of the stuff that's coming out of camp is encouraging, right? If Ashton Daniels can take that step, if this offensive line can play cohesively as a unit, if the defensive line plays better than maybe what we're expecting, if these guys do take a step, if Chris Jones is the real deal at linebacker, then like Florida State has an opportunity to really elevate itself and prove that it can have a good season, right? It's up to them to write their own narrative, and they're going to have a good schedule that, you know, if you go, I don't want to talk about like 8-4 being a good record for Florida State, but if you go 8-4, 9-3 against this schedule, that's going to say something for what you can do. Now, in fairness, we don't know what this schedule is going to be until at least probably midway through the season. And we've seen these teams play some games and how good or bad they really are, right? You won't really know till the end of the season after they played their full slate of games. But Florida State has that opportunity, and they have some marquee games to do it against when you're talking about a Miami, an SMU, a Louisville, an Alabama. You have those marquee games to prove yourself against. But again, the talk means nothing at the podium if you don't back it up on the field. So I'm with you guys. I hear you guys. We're taking everything with a grain of salt here from this perspective of Florida State season in 2026 and all these preseason things. We're taking all of that at arm's length. We're holding on to it because if you say all the right things at the podium and then you back it up with 7-17 like you have the last 2 years, we've heard the positive talk before, it doesn't mean anything. But I like some of the things that I'm hearing. I like some of the reports coming out of the first scrimmage. And so we're going to take it for what it is, man. We're going to see. We'll see how they continue to progress throughout camp. So with that being said, stay locked in with us here at Plant the Spear. Go ahead and drop that like and subscribe. Hit that notification bell on YouTube so you never miss an episode. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. And then, of course, make sure you visit our website over at plantthespear.com, where we have all of our content, all of our episodes, written articles, all that stuff available for you guys, as well as you can join the PTS community. And then make sure you get some new gear for the season at Alumni Hall FSU. So with that being said, guys, we're going to cut it out right here, and we'll catch you on the next one as me and Michael will continue our defensive preview, wrapping up the personnel look. So go check out the channel. We got plenty of content preseason for you on there. Position group previews for the offense. We've already started on the defense. We're going to have schedule breakdowns and all that stuff coming up. So it's a great time to lock in with us here at Plant the Spear. So with that being said, we will catch you on the next one. Thanks for watching. As always, go Noles.